Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Welcome to the Acme Packing Company podcast feed. I am Justice Mosqueda. This is the Repack. I'm joined by Evan Tex Wester. Say what's up to the people, Tex.
What's up, everybody? We get to do this again next week, and that's going to be great. Well, I don't know if it's going to be great next week, but it's great right now that we know we get to do this at least one more time.
Green Bay Packers win 48-32 against the Dallas Cowboys. Still undefeated in AT&T Stadium.
Yep.
Aaron Jones owns them. Aaron Jones is on the best stretch of his career. Jordan Love is only getting better, question mark. This offense is fun.
Oh my God. This game was so far beyond, I think, the best case scenario that any of us even really imagined that would be even possible.
I mean, they broke the scoring record for the franchise in the playoffs, right? So like, anyone who says that they saw this coming, you're lying to me.
Yep.
I know I was Mr. Doom and Gloom all week. still think I was kind of like correct on a lot of these points. I just didn't think the offense was going to be this red hot. Did they punt?
I think they punted twice.
We got one punt. Yeah.
I think there was one early and there's three. There was two late. The two the Clifford drive late.
Oh, okay.
And then the one where they brought the offense back in briefly and got Jordan Love the incomplete pass attempt that cost him his perfect passer rating.
Oh, okay. I got
so, but yeah, that was it. Five straight touchdown drives from the start of the second quarter to midway through the fourth quarter.
Pretty good. By the way, if good you guys God. Haven't checked it out, Jerry Jones is freaking out.
It's that man is on insane. Tilt.
It's pretty insane. Everyone, like everyone, why is the owner fielding questions? Like, I guess it's Jerry. So
it's
like,
Jerry.
He does whatever he wants. Yeah. But like, I think he spoke to the media before Mike McCarthy did, just like in a media scrum. They asked him like, they're like, what do you think? And he's just like, it's unfathomable. Like, I cannot believe this. I think there's like actually a chance Mike lost his job, which is insane. I mean, they just won 12 games.
Again, for the third year in a row.
Yeah.
They won 12 games.
They won the NFC East. They, you know, had a better record than the team that just went to the Super Bowl. Dak Prescott just led the NFL in passing touchdowns, and I think they're going to can Mike. And I don't think today's issues were on him. I know some of it gets funky because it was like quote-unquote garbage time. The Cowboys were driving on the Packers at the end of the game, and there wasn't a whole lot of garbage time about it. Like, it was just the things that I was worried about Dallas got into. Like, they were in more spread formations. They were trying to feed like CD and these wide receivers. They weren't running it so much. I think that translates. Like, this to me was a worse showing for Dan Quinn than anyone. I mean, when the Packers are able to call that, you know, wide open tight end play and it's against the perfect look and like all that stuff, like, I don't know, that's an issue with the defensive coordinator more than it is, you know, the players. And I think that was more the issue in the passing game. In the run game, I still think it was, you know, these boys don't have enough sand in their pants that they don't really want to play the run like that.
Yeah, I think I'm looking at it too. You got to give the Packers secondary credit, at least in the first half, for coming up with two big picks. The Jair pick early. I mean, if they don't get those two turnovers, I know they forced, you know, they went punt, pick on the first four Dallas drives. But that drive with the pick six from Savage. I mean, they were moving the ball. They were, that was, I want to say, they were on the other side of the 50 at that point. And, you know, if they score there, that's, you know, that's 20 to seven. You know, maybe they got another, yeah, maybe they get the double up right around halftime or something. Then suddenly you're looking at a, you know, a one score game. But instead, Savage takes that back to the house, 27 nothing. Even though
Yeah.
they get the touchdown before the half, you know, it's still 27-6, and they needed that just to, or 27-7, and they needed that just to get even close to, you know, to have any hope of staying in that game. So that was, I think, as big a deal as anything in the first half, is getting those turnovers and kind of stymieing any momentum that Dallas was going to have on offense.
I feel like there were like two games played, honestly. And I know the easy thing is just like split it by the half and stuff, but I mean, 27-7 entering the half. As soon as Savage returned that interception, it felt like it was over, right? Like it was kind of felt like, I mean, the allegory is always going to be like the Tremal Williams interception, right? Against Atlanta, where it's like, okay, that was the game. I remember where I was for that. That was the Super Bowl run.
Divisional round in Atlanta. Yeah.
Do
6-1 game.
you want to text? Do you want to guess how old I was?
Oh God. Well, I thinking about how old I was, I mean, you had to have been in high school,
Correct.
probably. Yeah.
Correct.
So I'll leave it at
I
that.
was it was my junior year of high school. And this must have been a Saturday game because I was getting ready to go to winter formal. And I had to leave at halftime. My father's a Falcons fan. And as I'm walking out the door, I see the Tremont Williams interception. And I'm like, all right, I'm in good hands. I can go have fun for the
Oh
rest of
my
the night.
God. Amazing. That's
So.
fantastic. That Super Bowl run was my first year out of college. First year kind of living on my own, doing my own thing, and I had found the local Packers bar. It basically, I went there for the one nationally televised preseason game that year, and there was like two people there, and I'm like, oh no, this is going to be dead. This is going to be, you know, th there's going to be nobody here. This is going to be a Packers bar in name only. And then I showed up for week one against Philly, and the whole place was, I mean, you could not, you were shoulder to shoulder in the entire place. And you know, I think I was at every, just about every game that year, and then through the playoff run at the bar. And that was a just an that game, that whole sequence, and that whole playoff run was just magical. So not gonna say we're gonna have that this season, but yeah, certainly that pick six. I mean, that's always gonna be what that one gets compared to, just based on the timing, the situation, you know, right before the end of the half.
All right, let's do it. Let's play the game. Do you believe? We talked about it on the halftime spaces. I think we got a couple we believes. I think it was Tyler. Tyler was team we believe.
I think
I don't
so.
know if Owen answered. Owen Reese, our buddy. I'm still firmly I want to believe, but
Yep.
we're
Ask
literally
me
playing the Niners, so.
at halftime on Saturday night, and I will tell you if I believe or not. I'm not there, and until this team, you know, does something like this against San Francisco, I'm not ready to buy in 100% just yet. I've been scarred too many times by that team in the last decade and a half to believe just yet.
Here's some devil's advocate stuff, right? Just looking through some stats right now. Hi, Addie. if I sound a little weird right now, it's because I am literally recording from my bed right now. Like a lot of places in the country, basically everything off of the East Coast is from what I understand. We're getting hit with a lot of snow and ice right now. So we're a lot of people are losing power. My buddy is staying in the office that I usually record in. So I am on my bed currently petting my cat. That was my girlfriend opening the door, trying to figure out what the heck I'm doing. for perspective, right? Aaron Jones, like we already mentioned, is having the best season or the best stretch of games in his career, right? Jordan Love only looks like he's getting better. Zach Tom allowed one pressure against Micah Parsons in this game.
What?
Micah Parsons had one pressure on 19 pass rushes, according to Next Gen Stats. That's the lowest pressure rate in a game in his entire career. His
Also,
only
Aaron
pressure.
Jones absolutely stuck him in the backfield on a blitz pickup, stuck his helmet into his ribs, and knocked him out for a couple plays. That might be my favorite, like one of the lasting memories of this game for me was that blitz pickup by Aaron Jones on Parsons. Anyway, sorry.
You know, in Looney Tunes, when they just like, they beat the hell out of Sylvester, right? And his teeth are just made out of like piano keys. I think like once Aaron Jones hit him in the ribs, Parsons' like ribs just popped into his mouth. And then I just imagine him walking around like that. 'Cause those things were definitely loose at that point. Like he immediately just like grabbed them, was like, oh, and like went to the sideline. So I definitely think that impacted the game. The Packers, incredibly efficient on offense this year. I don't know, like, if they're gonna keep being this hot, and I have no idea, right? Because we had this stretch where we're like, we cannot be killed, right? Earlier this season, and then like Jordan Love didn't have the best games in his career, and like Tommy DeVito happened, right? So I don't want to be the guy who's like, we did it. Like, this is us now. No one's going to be able to stop us, right? But like, if they keep playing like this, like they got a shot against the Niners.
Yeah, I
But
don't. I'm not. I can't bring myself to fully commit, just because, again, this team is so young and
also,
they're
Barry, the
still.
defense did not help. Like the fact that we got that quick shot of sobriety at the end of the game, where it's like you can, with a lead, give up 25 points in the second half. And again, some of that's garbage time. Some of it's not. In the presser, did you listen to the presser at all?
I did not have a chance to listen to the presser tonight.
So the only important thing is that Matt was like, I didn't like that we pulled our starters and then we had to put them back into the game. That was a mistake for me. That last drive on defense, like, there's backups in there, right? Like Anthony Johnson Jr. like forced a PBU. Zane Anderson was out there playing safety. It looked like the only starters who were in were Devondre Campbell, which we'll get into that and see if like he's even considered a starter at this point. And then Preston Smith, who's just gassed as hell. Watch Preston Smith on that fourth round or that fourth down pass rush. He's legit just like standing and walking up and just making sure Dak doesn't like boot to the left on like a Hail Mary attempt. So I don't know. I don't know if I believe or not.
I think that whole second half was, it was the Barry show again to some extent, and obviously the backups played into that, but it was a stark reminder that Joe Barry's still gonna do Joe Barry things once in a while.
Is this job safe? So this is one thing that we ran at Acme Packing Company for the Reacts polls this week, right? And if you guys aren't familiar with the Reacts polls, first of all, how dare you? How dare you not visit the website
Come
after
on.
I've asked specifically for you to visit the website for years while giving you free audio content? What we do is, we have a set of polls, fans answer it. You could sign up so it gets like sent to your email if you want to get it done that way. And then we make little graphics. So I asked, how many playoff games does Joe Barry need to win to be safe in 2024? 47% of people said four. If you're doing the math here, four is a
Wow.
Super Bowl win, right? So half
Oh,
of
man.
Packers fans think that Barry isn't going to come back unless there's a Super Bowl win. I am certainly not in that camp. I am in the camp of Matt doesn't want to can him. Who has the clout to be able to tell Matt that you have to can him? And then where is that line? Like, how many
Yep.
games into this do we get before, no one has a clout to tell Matt that?
It's very easy for me, and I said it a couple of weeks ago, a week or two ago, and I think with you, and I said it on the Unpack with the guys. It's two. It's if you beat the Niners, and then it's not a 48-32 type of game. It's a game in the 20s or less. That's what it's going to take for me. So,
I think I
but.
lean that Barry is actually safe now. But if they beat the Niners, I dude, like write it in ink, he's coming back next year.
Yeah.
Like there's I don't know how many times teams have lost or won and gotten to the conference championship game and then change their coordinator, especially in a situation like this where the I mean, the team is what we have to be the youngest team to win a playoff game now. So,
If I think if they go out and have a game like the defense did against the 49ers in 2020, no, 2019, the game where Pettine just got ran over
yes,
nonstop.
high school run
That
plays just track
I
over
think,
and
yeah,
over.
if we have that type of a performance, I think that all but I think that would seal his fate and make LaFleur have no other choice. If it's anything in between that and a win where the defense plays great, I'm still kind of up in the air. But it does really feel like, to me at least, that he is coaching for his job to some extent on Saturday night.
I agree. I just think it would have to be really bad. Yeah, like to
Yeah.
your point, it would have to be the Shanahan Patton level type of collapse. I don't know if you saw this. I think it was Matt Schneidman of The Athletic who tweeted it out. He said the press box PA at one point during the game. It was after the Da'Tavion Wicks touchdown. He said they went over the PA and were like, "Hey, reminder, no cheering in the press box." Guys, it was not the media. It was the Packers and Brian Gutekunst being so
The
loud,
front office.
yeah, that they thought that it was in the media side of the press box. And now that I'm thinking about it, that Wicks touchdown was the one where Jerry turned around, right?
Yeah.
And they showed the clip. I wonder if he was actually reacting to that, which might be interesting, right?
Yeah.
So.
Maybe that's why they came over the PA and told everybody to shut up because Jerry thought that it was cheers coming for the press box or something.
Right, which he's got to be. He's like, I've done all this for you, and the media is still against me. How dare you? Cowboys have been built for you guys. But with that being said, right, like that press box erupts. They remember all those feelings. They experienced it. Everyone cheered. And then, can you turn around and tell Matt and say, like, hey, change what you're doing, by the way, right? Like
Yeah.
that's the thing I struggle with is like the actual, like when you get down to brass tacks, it's like, okay, who's telling Matt? Right? And I just don't know. I
Yeah.
just don't know. Especially if Matt's gonna, ride for Barry as hard as we know that he's going to. I have some other points, but I think it all fits in with like kind of vibe checks. So,
Let's do it.
do you have anything else? Oh, when is the Packers game gonna be played, by the way? I guess we can
Yeah,
go
so
into that.
we do have the schedule for divisional round. Packers 49ers is the late game on Saturday. So 8 o'clock prime time
Saturday.
game Saturday night. I kind of scoped it out with the way that the wild card schedule broke down. Whoever won that Monday night game, the Philly Tampa game, that game was always going to end up being Sunday, just because they're not going to have a team play Monday, Saturday
Yeah.
in the playoffs. So I knew as soon as the Packers won, I mean, even coming into the game, I was thinking, all right, if they win this, they go to San Francisco, it's going to be Saturday because of the fact that the other NFC game was a Monday night game. So the way the schedule breaks down is early Saturday game is Houston at either Baltimore or Kansas City, depending on the Pittsburgh Buffalo game tomorrow.
Which either way, fun matchup, man.
Yeah,
I mean, you're
that's
getting
gonna be fun.
Stroud against two pretty good defenses. I know Kansas City's not the same thing as the Ravens, but I mean, we saw him this year. Like, we know Spags is gonna blitz like crazy. Like, that's gonna be a fun matchup. That should it in unless one of, the Chiefs or Ravens defense step up, that's fireworks, right? I'm sure ESPN is super happy that they get that.
Yeah, that's gonna be a good one. And so then yeah, the night game Saturday, Packers at Niners, that's on Fox. That's the only Fox game on the schedule next week. And then Sunday, the early game is the other NFC game. So it's the winner of Philly Tampa playing in Detroit. That one's gonna be on NBC, so Chris Collinsworth gets to gush all over Jared Goff and Dan Campbell again.
Okay, the Lions.
Actually, he was gushing over Stafford more so, I think, tonight
Was
than he
it?
was over Goff, to be honest.
So I saw the Lions were up by two scores in, I think it was the first half. I think there was the long Puka Nacua touchdown, and then I took a little nappy poo because I deserve it. So I didn't see how that game ended. I actually don't even know the score of it.
Yeah, I mean it was tight and low scoring in the second half. Detroit won 24-23. They had there was a little bit of a weird there's a penalty on the Rams late. They were just on the edge of field goal range and they got a holding call. Campbell decided to back them up and they were incomplete, I think, on like 3rd and 16 or something from the 45. Punted to Detroit with 4 minutes left. Detroit decided to throw the ball a couple times and picked up their couple first downs that way and ran out the
Well, when
clock.
you have a first team all
So,
pro wide receiver like Amon-Ra St. Brown,
yep. And
I can't
I
believe that.
think that's nuts. But yeah, I
Him
think he.
and Deron Bland were the two. Shout out to Deron Bland. Hope you had a first team all pro offseason lined up in Cancun. You didn't have a first team
Yeah.
all pro night today.
Nope. But St. Brown made the last catch on it was on a 2nd and 9 right after the 2 minute warning with the Rams having one timeout and ran just a perfect stop route and yeah, picked up 11 yards, moved the chains and three kneels and they get to do it again in Detroit next week. So I've
Did
got
you
a
see
good
the
friend of mine
Amon-Ra
here
St.
who's
Brown clip where he talks
no,
about
I actually I
Packers?
didn't see it. I heard about it. I heard they're scared of us.
Yeah, that's kind of what they see. So it's all three brothers, right? They have a podcast together. Two of them are Bears. I believe two of them are Bears. Two of them are wearing Bears gear. I actually don't think Osiris is in the league.
No, he's not out yet, right? Isn't
Yeah.
he still at
I
SC
don't I
or
don't think he's
Stanford
still
or
at
something?
SC. I think he's just not in the league. Yeah, he might be the Cooper Manning of the
Well,
bunch.
yeah, I guess not. All right.
But they were talking, and so one of them obviously is with the Bears, right? The one that used to play with us, Equanimeous St. Brown. Not Osiris, Amon-Ra. Goodness gracious, I'm getting all these names mixed up.
I
Amon-Ra
mean,
was like,
they're the
I
St.
told you
Brown
about the
brothers. It's
pat. He,
understandable.
yeah. Amon-Ra was basically like, I told you about the Packers, right? Like, even those young guys, like 37, they're chippy. They talk. Very, very funny, dude. If we're in their
Love
heads, dude, oh my God, guys,
it.
if we gave the Lions, like, I don't know, one full season of success split over 2 years, and we're already back and we're already in their heads, folks, if we beat the Niners, we're probably going into Detroit for the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
And at that point,
Yeah, baby.
I believe.
I
Because
believe.
I'm like, dude, we could beat the Lions and then we just have to get lucky one more game. Like, we've done the work. Like, what we did was tougher than what's left on in the road. So,
Absolutely.
you were saying your friend
Yeah,
Lions.
I've got a one of my best friends is a big Lions fan. He's from Michigan and somebody asked him if he was gonna, if he wanted to come hang out and watch the night game tonight, and he's like, no, this is the first Lions playoff game or first home game in 30 years or something. I'm going to be losing my mind with every snap on my own couch, and I don't want to be around anybody else through this whole thing. So,
Yeah, so
Kurt, I'm happy for you. You got one.
Addy is not interested in football, really. My buddy, you'd be shocked. Most of my buddies outside of like dudes I like coach with or played with, aren't really into football here in Portland. I mean, we're like the worst media market relative to size for NFL football. It's one of the reasons why we're like 20th in population or something like that, and we don't have a pro football team, right? Even though the Seahawks are like, I don't know, like 3.5 hours away. They were puzzling while, like, literally puzzling on the at the kitchen table while I was watching this playoff game, and I was like hooting, hollering, screaming. I just get hit with a "Are you winning, son?" like every once in a while, and they're like, "Hell yeah, good for you." So that's how my was my viewing experience.
Hilarious.
And then the night game, right? Chiefs at Bills or Steelers at Ravens, which both of those, the Steelers one actually kind of stinks. Steelers aren't going to win though, right? Like Steelers aren't going to win.
I don't think so, and I want the Bills to win pretty bad because I want Patrick Mahomes to have to finally play a playoff game on the road. I am sick and tired of that guy getting to play every single postseason game at Arrowhead. So make him go up to Buffalo, and hopefully maybe Rasul can play and do something. But yeah, I'm just sick of the fact that he's played in 15 playoff games. Obviously, three of those being Super Bowls, but every one of the 12 playoff games he's played before the Super Bowl has been at Arrowhead. That is unacceptable.
Yeah, I think every year he's been a starter, the AFC Championship game has been in Kansas City, which seems insane.
Yes.
That's nuts. That's nuts,
It's
man.
absurd.
We'll see what happens there. I mean, Buffalo, can I have a tick about the snow game and everything get relocated and all that, delaying the
Oh,
game
yeah.
until Sunday or Monday and all that stuff. I know a lot of people have takes, so I've like kind of stayed away from it. A lot of it seems dumb though. The takes, not the reasoning for moving the game. I do have one question though. Again, I understand all the math, and people are like, if Buffalo had a dome, it wouldn't even change the situation because everything is about being able to get like like first responders and stuff like that on the road, and it's not really like near the actual city of Buffalo and all that stuff. But Kansas City just played a night game where it was like minus 20 in terms of like the temperature after the wind chill and like all that stuff. So is it like not, it's not an ice thing, it's a snow thing then?
That's
Because I would assume Kansas City would
yeah.
have ice on the roads in that situation, or maybe there just wasn't enough precipitation.
That's what it sounds like to me, is that they weren't nearly as worried about the temperature, just the temperature, as they were about the actual snow and just piling up on the roads and things. Yeah, I don't think there was a whole lot of precipitation in Kansas City, and so at that point they probably were able to salt, keep the roads mostly clear, and people at least could get to where they needed to go. Whereas in Buffalo, I mean, they being up on Lake Erie, I mean, the lake effect snow that they get up there is insane, and I mean they will go and get 2 feet of snow in one night sometimes in Buffalo. It's absurd. So it's got to be that's got to be the big difference there. Although I did find it pretty hilarious, the videos and clips of things that we saw from the Kansas City game this weekend of people cracking a beer and it immediately freezing in their
Yes.
hands in the stands.
I saw that. I saw people simply, I think this was like in the stadium concourse. People were removing, did you see the water bottle one? It was like a bottle of
Yeah.
Smart Water, right? Like we've seen
Yes.
that. They simply take it out of the refrigerator into what I think is like just the open air in the stadium concourse,
Yeah.
and it just starts freezing immediately, and you're like, oh my
That
God.
was
There's a
it.
couple of people who are shirtless. Dude,
Nope.
I don't love
Absolutely not.
anything that much. I mean, I went out today and yesterday. I went to the gym in the morning, and it's like, I don't know, I think it was like 12 degrees or something. Plus there was like some whipping wind, so I don't know what it is with the wind chill, but like I walked a couple blocks and I was like, dude, screw this, man. Like, and I
Yeah,
grew up on a
here.
mountain.
Well, yeah, here in Columbus, it was 6 degrees most of the day and wind chills around, -5 to -10. We ran out and we got to the gym and ran a couple errands and things. But the best part of it was the fact that I had forgotten to put a couple of the beers that I wanted to drink during the game. I have a ritual that it always has to be a beer from a Wisconsin brewery during a Packers game. That's my rule. So stocked up on New Glarus and Lakefront and some stuff when we're back for the holidays, so we're good. But I'd forgotten to put a couple of them in the fridge. So I'm like, all right, I got one, I got one or two in there from the first half. I got those. I'm just gonna put, two or three more just out on the front step of our back patio. And
You
by
better remember.
halftime, yeah, they're in the fr they came back in after the game, but at halftime I went out and I grabbed one and it was just I had already started to get a couple of crystals in there. It was starting to crystallize already. So, yeah, it's been nuts this week, but
Yeah, I think
I don't
everyone
think.
is cold unless you're on the East Coast. People in New York were like, yeah, it's 60 degrees right now. It's very weird. Our buddy, Charles McDonald from Yahoo Sports is currently spending the night in Kansas City today. He was trying to fly back to New York. He ended up boarding onto the plane, hanging out on the plane for I think like 2 hours, and they were like, "The stuff like stuff keeps freezing on the plane, so we can't take off. See you tomorrow." So he's pretty frustrated about that. I would be too,
Yikes. Yeah.
especially when it's that cold. I mean, you can't. I guess you get drunk in like the hotel bar. I mean, what else can you do? That's it,
Yeah.
right?
That's all we got. But at least it looks like there won't be much in the way of weather for Packers Niners. Just check the extended forecast.
You think? Yeah.
Yeah, 65
Like,
degrees for a high, 54
I
for
was
a
gonna
low
say
Saturday night.
60. It's always 60, man.
Chance a little, a little bit of chance of rain in the evening, so yep, they'll be fine. That'll be fine.
Trying to think if I could swing some tomfoolery. My sister-in-law and her husband just bought a house in Oakland. And I have family in Oakland too. I was actually, I think I told you guys about this on the podcast. I was supposed to go down on the 10th, but I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna have to cover a Packers playoff game, right? So I was like, TBD on me heading down, the mother and father-in-law were like scoreboard watching the last 3 weeks for the Packers. I don't know. Like, what if we just delay the trip for a week? Let's see if
There
the
you go.
Niners credential me instead of the Packers. I bet I can get into a Niners presser quicker than I can the Packers. So,
I've heard crazier ideas. Yeah,
all right.
something to think about.
I think it's time for vibe checks. I think we've done
Let's
this
do
long
it.
enough. Yeah, we're gonna get a vibe checks after the break. Please listen to some ads. Also, visit the website. Come on.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. All right, offensive vibe checks. 10 out of 10. I don't know what else you can say. I think
Nothing.
the most impressive thing I've seen from this game. This is also numbers from Next Gen Stats. I think the general vibe of this game was the Packers want to run the piss out of the football, right? And they don't think the Cowboys can really stop them, even if they're not getting huge gains or anything like that. This is a stat from Next Gen Stats. The Packers lined under center on 63% of their plays in the wild card victory against the Cowboys, the highest rate by any offense in a game this season. The Packers
Oh my
averaged
God.
8.7 yards per play from under center, scoring 3 touchdowns. That is something that you could, notice certainly, if you were watching the game. They wanted the threat of the run game at any time. If you guys weren't paying attention to what Dallas does from a like a schematic standpoint, it's not really a schematic standpoint, It's more personnel, I guess. Marquise Bell, who I guess like they might call him a linebacker. He's 205 pounds for perspective. What's his name? Wilson, Donovan Wilson. And then there's another guy that they use on the inside. I forget who it was. They play safeties at linebacker, basically, right? The Packers during the regular season got 13 attempts to run against a dime box, which is, six defensive backs on the field. I think it was midway through the second quarter, my buddy at Next Gen Stats had sent me a message on WhatsApp, and he was like, "The Packers have already run against that look 11 times, right?" So it was just the Packers basically saying like, "We want to feast on these little guys. They're using a 205-pound guy at linebacker. I cannot believe that we're not, that teams haven't punished them for that yet." And even if you look at like the opening play of the game, right? They're in 12 personnel, right? So, a whole lot of Musgrave, a whole lot of Kraft, not getting into the gun and running spread formations. It was a lot of like, even if we are passing, we're threatening to run. And the game plan worked. I mean, 10 out of 10 from execution to, game plan, all of it.
It did feel to me, seeing so much 12 personnel, I'll be fascinated to see what the snap counts look like in the morning. But it felt like having Musgrave back for this one just opened up a lot for them schematically, and especially in the run game with that ability to have those kind of run pass looks out of the same type of formation. Just the ability to have both him and Kraft out there just seems like it really unlocks a lot for this offense. And that's, again, another reason to be super excited about this team moving forward into 2024 and beyond.
Yeah, for sure. This is a funny thing. Packers ran a little screen, right? I think it was to Musgrave. And it was that little flat screen. And when I saw it, I laughed because I just got a Matt LaFleur era Packers playbook. So like part of it is the signals and stuff. And they call that play docking. And the hand signal for this is I'm showing Tex two fingers touching each other, which is very goofy. If you want to look up docking, you guys can go ahead and do that. I wouldn't do it on a work computer. But yeah, so hopefully I'll be able to analyze this Packers offense a little bit better now that I have the playbook, and we could see if Matt is running the actual hashtag his own offense now.
Man.
Jordan Love, hot. Aaron Jones, hot. Wide receivers seem like they can't be stopped. The forgotten guy in the wide receiver rotation has been
Yep.
Romeo Dobbs. Romeo Dobbs went absolutely nuts today, 150 yards and a touchdown. Caught all six of his targets. I don't think Dobbs like won a contested catch or anything like that, but
He was college open on some of his targets. I mean, some of those were scramble drills or at least extended plays from Love in the pocket, and he kind of found his way open in the zone. It just seemed like every one of his big plays was like he was either kind of lined up in the slot or at least kind of tight to the right side, and then just worked his way open, kind of coming across back over towards the numbers on the right side again, and then just took off up the sideline. And they had the one big kind of deep over crosser as well. But yeah, biggest like explosive, co consistent explosive plays out of him today. I mean, four of his targets, it looks like. I'm looking at his receiving chart from Next Gen Stats. Three targets more than 20 yards downfield,
And again,
and a bunch of yak too.
those were butt naked wide open. I feel like the touch was it? No, it wasn't the touchdown. It was like just short, right? like little glance slant, whatever it was on in the red zone.
Yeah, that was the one that, yeah, took it down to like the 1 yard line. Yep.
Yeah. Like that one was a tough ball to handle because I don't know how you can like it wasn't a contested catch. Like he definitely was open. Jordan definitely delivered the ball. But there's so many
But you know
bodies
he's gonna take a
around.
hit and yeah.
Yeah, and there's so many bodies around. Like I just don't know how you keep track of that ball a little bit. What was the was it wait, no. There was some like sidearm play where Love threw it between like two defenders. Maybe it was the Wicks touchdown.
Might have been the Wicks. Yeah, I
There was one where I
this
was
point.
like, holy crap. I think that's when I tweeted out. I was like, is Love getting better? Because that was Rod that was legitimately Rodgers-esque. I know everyone wants to make the comparison with Rodgers, and I think a lot of times those comparisons are ill-advised, but like that one was the one where I was like, uh-oh, like, dude, is he like gonna get better during the play? He seems like he's getting better every week.
It's God damn, it's fun to watch.
What is the limit? Yeah, I know. I had Ben Solak for the Ringer. Shout out to him. Was in my group chat and he was talking during the game and was like, "Young Jordan Love reminds me a lot of like young Patrick Mahomes." And I was like, screenshotted immediately.
Awesome.
Need to remind you guys about this. But like look at the last 5 games for Jordan Love. So since the DeVito game, right? Against Tampa, 284 yards, 74% completion, 2 touchdowns. Carolina, 219 yards, 61% completion, 2 touchdowns. Minnesota, 256 yards, 73% completion, 3 touchdowns. Chicago, 316 yards, 84% completion, 2 touchdowns. And now Dallas, 272 yards, 76% completion, 3 touchdowns. I mean, this dude is at minimum throwing for like 8 a pass, not throwing an interception, getting at least 2 scores, and we're hitting usually around 250. Like, if they keep doing this, man, and in the QBR, by the way, for these
Oh,
games,
well, this
90,
one.
82, 74, and 99.3.
I saw somebody put in the Slack that this was the highest graded game by QBR since QBR began in a postseason game
Wow.
for a quarterback, period.
I'll take that. I'll take that.
The other one that I liked was Aaron Schatz, formerly Football Outsiders, the DVOA guy, right? He said the Packers had a pass offense DVOA of plus 190% today.
Good God.
That means 0% is average. So like I can't even like put that stat into reference. He says that's the highest passing game DVOA in a game in Packers franchise history. Granted, like there's a defense adjustment because of Dallas's defense in there, but still,
Right.
like that's what he just did. And then Aaron Jones continues to, destroy the Cowboys and be the bane of their existence. What it doesn't get any better than this.
The one thing on the offensive side of the ball that was a little bit shaky, that first drive, man. Josh Myers got his ass kicked twice to start the game. Rasheed Walker on the third play got his ass kicked. They ended up making up for it, but they were a little shaky on the offensive line to start. Obviously, Zach Tom had a pretty shutdown game against Micah Parsons and stuff like that. Didn't seem like they were doing as much rotation on the offensive line. I don't know if Nyman got in at left tackle. I don't know if Ryan before the scrubs came in got in at right guard. So I think they might be done doing the whole rotation thing for the playoffs, which I think is good. Their rationale for the rotating thing was always like, we want to keep guys engaged, which if guys are making millions of dollars, they should be engaged for in the first place. But like, I think if you're not engaged for the playoffs, what, you don't like football, right? Like, I think we're beyond that at this
Yeah.
point. You know what I mean? So there's also the whole run game thing. So Aaron Jones, obviously in the game, he ended up having 103 touchdowns. Shout out to him. He must be loving it. Texas kid, grew up as a Cowboys fan. Emmitt Smith was his guy. He got to see Emmitt today, all that stuff. But they're not really. So AJ Dillon is out because of the thumb injury. I still think that that's one of the bigger injuries on the team because, again, like Aaron Jones, I know right now is toting the rock, but like, I don't know. It's like wear and tear gonna end up impacting him down the stretch. I don't know.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Wilson had 8 carries for 20 yards. Patrick Taylor had 3 carries for 6 yards. I don't even remember Patrick Taylor carry. Maybe that came in the
I think
garbage
that was
time
the
stuff.
backup drive. Yeah, that was the
Yeah.
Clifford drive.
But like, they're not getting anything out of these guys. Like, Emmanuel Wilson,
No.
if you take out Emmanuel Wilson's long, he had 8 carries for 13 yards. Like, I don't know. He's not doing it for me.
Yeah.
We got to get some backs in the offseason.
Yes. And even if they somehow find a way to keep Jones, deal with that cap hit in 2024,
I think he's back. I mean, unless he gets
yeah,
some
th
weird injury that
this
he can recover back from, so like, actually release him in the offseason, like,
yeah, this
no, like.
stretch definitely, I think, is going to keep him around for at least one more go. But you've got to have a guy who can give you, 10, maybe 12 carries a game, because Jones is a guy who, he's not very big. He can't keep up, a 20 carry
Right.
probably per game pace, certainly not for an entire season. And yeah, this is 4 games in a row now that he's had 20 plus. So that's not a pace that you can keep up for him for an entire season. I think, probably one of the few reasons why he's been able to maintain that this last month is just because he had so few carries early on in the season, because he was
Yeah.
banged up so much that, his body's not as tired. And now that his knee is right again, he's cooking everybody.
Knee and hamstring. Plus, I don't
Yeah.
know if he'd be getting this volume of carries, at least over the last two games, right? If not for Dylan's injury.
Right.
And,
Agreed. Yeah.
that should be talked about a little bit when we talk about, Jones is getting hot and all that stuff too. Yeah, again, just I'm going 10 out of 10.
Immaculate.
Yeah.
The
Defensive
Y
side of the
leak.
ball.
Sorry, the Y leak. We didn't even mention the Musgrave leak
Amazing.
play. I think, was it Next Gen Stats too? They said he had 17 yards of separation at the catch point, which is the most wide open any receiver has been in the NFL this year on a
I
reception.
believe it. Buddy, I believe it. There's a screenshot. I think I retweeted it. There's a
Yep.
screenshot that like no one else is in the view of
In
the
frame.
camera, and it's a wide shot too, right? I mean, you're probably looking at, I don't know how square footage really works, but I would venture to guess you're probably looking at like 50 square yards, and no one is in the shot other than Musgrave. So
That's insane.
the defensive side of the ball, this one gets a little bit more complicated. Was I right about
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb? I don't know, because it seemed like
Have no
the
idea.
Cowboys, I would
Yeah.
have to look at the film, because I don't know what the Packers actually ran to kind of take away Lamb, or maybe they weren't even running plays for Lamb. So my takes coming into this game, if you guys didn't listen to Intercepted, where I talked to like RJ Ochoa and stuff like that about the Cowboys, I thought this was going to be a decent Jake Ferguson game because the Packers allow some stuff over the middle of the field. I thought Lamb was going to be able to go for, 100 plus, just because, if you can get a guy who lines up in the slot, that's kind of how the Packers allow explosive plays in the passing game, just because of the matchups. And I thought Cooks wasn't going to do very well in this game. I think I was kind of right on all 3 points, but the Cowboys just didn't seem interested in really trying to feed CeeDee Lamb the ball until the second half. So, like, I know you can
It
call that
was,
garbage time, but like there's still
yeah.
time on the clock, man. Like, I don't know.
It was a weird CD game because, I mean, he did have 7 targets in the first half. He only had 2 catches, though, and he had that big drop on that first third down on that first drive. I don't know if that was, if something like was in his head or what for the first
They were like
half. There was
talking to him
weird
on the
body language
sideline.
stuff. Yeah, stuff between him and McCarthy on the sideline, him and Dak, on the field. Just like kind of some weird stuff going on there. And then, yeah, second half, I think that first drive, coming out of halftime, he had like 4 catches for 30 or 40 yards on that drive. And it was clear that they, that was a halftime adjustment that they were going to try to feed him the football. And then he had an explosive kind of later on one of those drives for almost a 50-yard gain to give him a big chunk of his yardage. But yeah, it for him, it really was a tale of two games, two halves in this one, because he just looked like he was not right for whatever reason before halftime.
The Packers were actually outgained by 100 yards. Did you know that? I'm looking at the
I'm
box score now.
that's a little nuts, but you look at per play and they still got 2 yards
Yeah.
per play more than the Cowboys.
Because the
Just
Cowboys ran 89 plays. That will almost certainly be something that works against the Packers and the Niners game. The fact that the Niners were sitting on their couches this week, just relaxing, resting their bodies. And the Packers just played 89 games of defense. I would assume their defense is a little bit more cast than the
And
Niners
they're
would be.
gonna be short a day of rest too, since they're playing on Sunday and going back out to a West Coast trip on Saturday night.
Yep. Even if there's like a similar time of possession, the Packers are a very slow team. The Cowboys are a very fast team, and the Cowboys wanted to go fast to try to make up these points at the end too. Trying to think of like takes. That I have. Keyshawn was very handsy the entire game. Devondre Campbell, we have to talk about that situation now. So Isaiah McDuffie went out with a stinger. I think they only called him questionable. I don't think they ever actually officially ruled him or Jair out. I know Matt after the game was like, I don't think Jair would have been back in the game even if the score ended up getting tight or something like that. So I assume Jair is, at least gonna be ailing his wounds, right? At the beginning of practice this week. I don't know if I would make too much of that though. But McDuffie went out with the stinger. Their game plan was use McDuffie on early downs as the base inside linebacker and then use Devondre Campbell as the coverage linebacker, which is kind of what they did with Eric Wilson earlier this season. But like, is Devondre Campbell Eric Wilson now? And then when they pulled the starters at the end of the game, Devondre Campbell was still in the game. So, like, I don't know what we're doing here. Did he get demoted?
Yeah, that one was weird. The only thing I can think of there is that, Walker and Devondre seem to be the two guys they trust with the green dot. And so maybe that was a case where they needed Campbell to be the guy to at least call the defense when they pulled Walker off the field. That's the only thing I can think of. Other than that, yeah, he's basically your backup, at least on base downs at this point. Then again, it's not like, his legs are giving you much in coverage right now either. So the fact that you put him out there as the coverage guy is an interesting decision in and of itself.
Yeah, that's the part that perplexes me is I'm like, I don't think Devondre can move around like that right now. If you look at the tackle totals for the Packers, it's pretty funny. So Keyshawn in the slot, he got 11, Quay got 11, Campbell got 8, Eric Wilson got 6, Isaiah McDuffie got 6. Eric Wilson got 6? Isaiah McDuffie got 6? Like all these low defenders ended up being the guys who made all these tackles.
Fascinating. I will say with Keyshawn, he made a couple plays. His sack on Dak, the way he read that play
That
and
was a
kind of beat
live
it.
decision where he was like,
Yes.
there's boot. I got to put pressure on this thing.
Yeah. And that was in a spot too where Dak has got to throw that, at least throw that ball away, because they were on the edge of field goal
Yeah.
range right there. And taking that sack, I think pushed him out to it would have been like a 60-yard field goal.
And they
And
punted.
they punted instead. So that was a big one early. I think that was the third drive of the game, if I remember right. And that ended up being a nice little swing and just great instincts from Keyshawn to kind of read that and then close on Dak.
Lucas Van Ness had a couple of nice plays. You might need to get a little bit more of that of LVN, at the end of the season because, or, through the playoffs because Matt said in the presser that it doesn't look good for Kingsley Igbuanaga. I didn't even know he went out with an injury, frankly. That must have happened very late in the game. But he said, it's not looking good. So I would assume Enagbare is probably going on IR because whenever Matt says it's not looking good, it's usually something like that.
Yeah, in LaFleur speak, that means he's probably having a leg amputated or something.
The Tonyan one is still the funniest one to me because he just goes up. He's just like, you gotta feel for Bobby. You gotta feel for Bobby. So yeah, I mean, Brenton Cox was inactive in this game. I would assume he gets a playoff check next week. So we'll see what happens there. We'll see.
Yeah.
What's his name? Justin Hollins. Is Justin Hollins on the team? Is he going to be re-signed to the practice squad this week? What's happening there?
Where's Justin Hollins? Let's see
Let
if
me
we can
look.
find out real quick.
Is the great podcast an invention of us Googling?
Hollins was playing for the Chargers for the last month and
Of
a half of the
course.
season, so yeah.
Staley stole one from us on the way
No
out.
go. Yep. He was on the Chargers roster when they played the Packers earlier this season. That's right. They signed him right before that game. Yeah.
Because
Okay.
they had some injuries.
Yep.
And then
Yep. Yep.
Bosa went down too, so I assume that's probably why he ended up sticking around. You've seen Devontae Wyatt charts. I've sent them in the Slack and stuff. There is, for some reason, the shoulder pad chips think Devontae Wyatt is as good of a defense, like a top five pass rushing defensive tackle. I don't know if I believe that.
I mean, he's in the backfield a lot, but he doesn't, I mean, I feel like he's one of those guys who has not done a good job translating pressures into sacks and into big plays. I don't know. That's that DeVito game a little bit, right? Where the Packers got a lot of pressure on him and then never really got him down. I feel like that's kind of been Wyatt's story this season. So, and I don't know that he gives you a ton as a run defender. I mean, that's always kind of going to be his calling card is kind of going to be that pass rushing three tech guy. But yeah, to put him in there, yeah, he might be getting around the quarterback, fairly frequently, but would really like to see him actually converting that and bringing him down on a more regular basis.
TJ Slayton shoved the dude.
Yeah, that wasn't
TJ,
great.
come on.
Yeah.
Dude, we didn't need that. We did, like, the game was wrapped up. Be smart. Be smart. I don't know if I have that many more takes about the defense. I want to see the film. I really want to see what coverages they were running. I want to see if it was just disinterest from the Cowboys or execution issues or what the heck was going on. Because until I see that, I'm not comfortable really putting stuff on guys. I'll say for
Yeah.
now, don't know. We just won a playoff game like
Five.
seven. I don't know. I have, feel like
Oh
I have the,
man.
like, we won a playoff game. We held them to, we were up
Yeah.
like 27-0 or whatever
27
the
to
heck.
seven at half. Yeah. I mean, a couple big turnovers, pick six in there. So, yeah, five's probably selling them a little short here, even though the fourth quarter was what it was. I'll go to six. I still, again, I don't believe, at least not in the defense, at least not yet. Not again. Talk to me
Yeah.
at halftime on Saturday night.
Well, maybe even after that, because if the Packers give up 25 points in the second half against
Mm, touche.
the Niners. Special teams. Waylon
Anders.
had a decent game. Anders, I did it. I did it this time. You can blame it on me. There was like the, I think it was the second PAT attempt. I was gonna like look away and like grab a beer or something like that. And I was like, no, I have to pay attention to Anders. And then, yeah, that's what it was. Because the third touchdown was to Wicks. And then there was the Jerry Jones thing. And I saw Jerry turn around and I was like, oh, that's when Mike got fired. And I like grabbed my phone, look away from the screen. And I was like texting the boys, like, hey, I think he's going to do it. And then I just,
Doink.
yep, miss kick. And I was like, that one's, a I legitimately felt responsible for it. So
Not
Anders, we will be
perceiving.
perceiving you. I mean, they kicked
That's funny
everything
be
through the end zone.
yeah. That one was funny because somebody made the point that could have made things a, I think that with the extra PAT, that would have changed things from like a 3 to a 4 score game somewhere
Yeah,
along the
because
line.
the Cowboys needed 8, 8, and 8 at one
That's
point.
right. So that would have been
So yeah.
25 instead of 24. Yeah. Ugh.
Glad
All
it
right.
didn't come down to that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Their kicker doinked one too, right?
Yeah, Aubrey put one off the same upright.
That's so weird because he doesn't miss field goals, but he'll miss PATs every once in a
That's
while.
right, because that was the whole weird sequence where they got the 2-pointer and then got the penalty and then moved him
Yes.
back on the PAT and then missed the PAT anyway.
Yeah. Onside teams looked fine. Keyshawn didn't really get any attempts because they were just kicking it through the back of the end zone. Just a whole lot of nothing to write home about, really, other than Waylon generally solid. Anders missed the PAT.
Yeah. Well, and Whelan's numbers aren't going to jump out at you, but all three of his punts were from kind of close to midfield, and he put them all inside the 20.
Yeah,
So the one,
yeah.
I think there was one early where I think he pinned him at like the 6, something like that. So that was pretty nice. Yeah. Good. Fine. Jaden Reed fair caught both of his punt returns. So,
Yeah.
oh, and he drew a kick catch interference. So that was fun.
He
Good
did, and
job.
I saw people complaining about that, and I was like, I don't,
What?
he never got pulled into it, so.
Yeah, it's not like he was blocked into that, and he was right on top
Also,
of
Sam
Reed.
Williams has like six special teams penalties this season. That guy is a bozo. He doesn't get the
I was
benefit of
thinking
the
you were going to
doubt.
say Sam Williams has 6 brain cells. That's probably a little harsh, but I thought that's where you were going with that one.
Might be a little high. Yeah, I'll say like 5, 6, something like that. That sounds fair to me. I do wonder, like, so the McDuffie stinger thing, right? Like, stingers aren't concussions. They're a different kind of injury, right? But the fact that he's had two head neck injuries in like 3 weeks, and they want to use him on base downs, plus he's, really used a lot on special teams, especially, punt protection, which is the biggest one. That's something to watch out for. I don't want to add anxiety to Packers fans, right? Especially this week, especially when we're riding high. But like the Jaire injury, I'm not really worried about that. Enagbare, I think he's going to be probably put on IR on Monday, the way that he's being talked about. And then the Dylan and McDuffie injuries, I think those change game plans. So they're relevant. Something to watch for this week.
But that means we got one more week of football at least to look forward to, and that feels good.
We sure do. And Washington lost their head coach. So what's not to be happy about? Dream week. Any parting notes before we get out of here?
No, I think that pretty much covers it. It feels good to maintain the winning streak in AT&T Stadium. Love that. Love
That's
that
our
for us.
stadium. As far as I'm concerned, that's our stadium.
Yeah. And fun to also be the first 7 seed to ever win a playoff game since the expansion. So somebody had to do it. Might as well be us. And yeah, that was a fun night.
We did it. Go Pack, go.